the Lord. Stand up with me. Just take a stretch. And we're going to go ahead and honor the Lord for a few minutes before we get into the Word tonight. Father, we praise you and glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for all of these that have gathered here, every one of your sons and daughters that have gathered here in the house. Thank you, Father, that you're speaking to them tonight, ministering to them tonight. Lord, that we are all receiving great benefit from the Word of God and from what the Spirit of God is saying and doing in us tonight. Father, we come hungry, and Lord, we thank you that we will leave filled. We thank you that in advance for all the wonderful things that will be done tonight. Lord, we already count it as good as done. Lord, we see our lives going up to a new level. We see our lives changing for the better. Father, we already see the things that we desire. We see us having those things even before it happens. Because, Lord, we know that your word is true and your word will surely come to pass. And, Father, we thank you for the Spirit of God moving in our hearts tonight and getting done everything he desires to get done in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Say hey to somebody. Hey. And then you can take your seat. Amen. All right. Well, one thing I want to be able to focus in on tonight, and it will likely not just be tonight. I may focus in on this in some other upcoming Wednesday nights that I spend with you. But one thing that I've been passionate about for many years in my walk with the Lord. As a matter of fact, when I first heard somebody really talk about this concept, goes back to the 80s. Does anybody remember the 80s? Anybody that wasn't alive in the 80s, I won't look. That's all right. It's good to be young, praise the Lord. But, this concept that we're going to talk about is very simple, praying the word. Praying the word. And why should we emphasize this? I'll tell you why. Because you like to know that you're praying the right thing, no questions asked. You like to know that you're on track. Where there's no ifs, no ands, no buts about it, you want to know that you're asking for the right thing. When we talk about praying in the Spirit, what the Bible also refers to as praying in another tongue or an unknown language, and the Holy Spirit's helping you to pray, when the Holy Spirit gets involved in a prayer, he can help you to pray the perfect prayer that needs to be prayed for something. But along with that, is also when you know you're praying the word, you're praying for something that God wants. And that there is why it's so worth camping out on. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at actual prayers recorded in Scripture, particularly in the New Testament. And we're going to go ahead and really camp out there. There's so many different themes that are prayed about throughout the New Testament. But we're going to focus in on three things tonight. Hopefully we can get into all three. But the idea of praying the word is so important because the word of God, you can equate the word of God with the will of God. Yeah. Everybody talks about the will of God. What does God want? What does God want? Put on the religious tone of voice when they say it. Hey. But the bottom line is this. If God wants something, then he says what he wants. And if you see it in writing and you know God said it, if you know that the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit in what he was writing to the churches of his day, would say, I'm praying this for you. And that's actually in Scripture. We can take those very same things that he prayed for the churches in his day, pray it for others around us. And let me tell you this, you can pray it for yourself too. So these are wonderful, powerful weapons that we've got. And besides that, look what I got. I went printing today. Keith, would you have the honor, my brother? I've got 50 of these. So I don't know if we've, I think we'll make it, but we got some more people that might come in late from the other side there that are in a meeting right now. But anyhow, we're going to talk about power prayers, and we're going to talk about preservation prayers, and then we're going to talk about completion prayers. Prayers to be empowered, preserved, and completed. Glory to God. And these are things that are right out of the Word, so you already know without a doubt that God wants you to have it. Isn't that great? That there's, you don't have to wonder when you're praying something that's right out of the Word. I wonder if God wants me to have that or not. Know that that is absolutely removed, because you know that when you're praying in line with the Word of God, you're praying in line with the will of God, or what God wants for you. Praise God. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for your assistance with that. And what we're going to do, we'll still have the verses on the screens tonight, but what we're going to do is set aside a little time at the end of our time together where we're going to go ahead and pray these things. And so you're going to go ahead and be able to take that, be able to pray that for yourself, pray that for other people that you know that need prayer. And I'll tell you, it's just wonderful. Glory to God. So let's dig in. Let's start with power prayers, first of all, here tonight. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. And it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So these are power prayers. And this one here, Paul's praying to the God of hope. Well, we need to go ahead and renew our mind to what hope really is, because a lot of times in our common way of using the word, we say, "Hey, are you going to go ahead and be there at this particular event?" And they say, "I sure hope so." And hoping, in the way we use it, most of the time sounds like wishing more so than anything else. "I sure do hope so." You can almost hear the tone. You know, the tone says something almost as much as the words say. But the Bible definition of what hope is not, "Oh, maybe, could be, possibly." It's not a wishing kind of thing. It's confident expectation. Someone say it with me. Confident expectation. So therefore, our God is a God of confident expectation, and he wants us to abound in confident expectation by the power of the Holy Spirit. So glory to God. This is an amazing thing, that when we pray this, that first of all, he's filling us with joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace in believing. It's interesting what one person was ministering one time, and they said, "How do you know that you're really in faith when you're praying? That when you're really believing God, you're really in faith, how do you know? What are some of the signs?" Joy and peace are two big signs, two big indicators that let you know you're driving down the faith road. When you see those signs, when you see those indicators, joy and peace, it lets you know that you really are in faith, or you really are believing God. And that you would abound in hope. Of course, the word abound being connected to the word abundance. Can you make that connection? Yeah. You would abound in hope, have an abundance of confident expectation. And how would that happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow, glory to God. And we're just getting started. Are you ready? These are power prayers. Let's keep going a little bit more. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11 through 12 says this, therefore we also pray always for you. So he's saying, I always pray this. Imagine that. This is a regular routine of what I pray for you Thessalonian people. This is what I'm praying. That our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now we could go on to verse 12, but I'd like to go ahead and focus in on verse 11 right here for a minute. Fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith. And how will he do this? With power. Whose power? It's not mine, I'll tell you that. And I think you figured out it's not yours. This is talking about the power of God. Now, let me go ahead and just elaborate on power for a few minutes, especially the particular word that we're seeing in these prayers. It's a Greek word. Of course, the New Testament, written in Greek, and we see these words that are just amazing and very, very big words and very, shall we say, very descriptive words where you can have in English like one or two words that sum up something, but the way it's used in another language, it covers a lot more territory. Well, this covers a lot of territory. This word, it's the Greek word dunamis, which is often referred to as power. Sometimes we'll see it's referred to as might. It's interesting that when the woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that was the stuff that went out of him through his clothing into her body that healed her. Someone say, that's the stuff. So the old King James uses a word called virtue in several places. But that's not a word that we would commonly use. We would use virtue in relation to something else. But power is very often used. Might. Think about this, that a lot of places in the New Testament where the word miracles is used, that is the very same word. So this power that we're talking about is miracle power, miracle working power. Glory be to God. So when I pray this, Lord, fulfill all the good pleasure of your goodness and the work of your faith with power, he is fulfilling the work of your faith with his miracle working power. Now, the good pleasure of his goodness, that's the things that he wants you to have, loves for you to have. Jesus said in one point that it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Remember that verse in Luke, I believe, chapter 12? But besides fulfilling the good pleasure of his goodness, he's fulfilling the work of faith with power. Well, the work, whose work? Well, that there is not God's work. That's our work. Remember how James said regarding faith that faith without works is dead, which means if you say you believe something, don't just go ahead and say, yeah, I believe that. Show me some evidence that you believe that. Your words need to back up your faith, for sure. But also besides that, your actions, someone say actions, corresponding actions should back up your faith. And God says here, And what he inspired Paul to pray for the church was that the work of their faith would be fulfilled with God's power. That means God would take it and bring it to completion, bring it to fruition, bring it to the finish line. Glory to God. Colossians 1, we're still in power prayers. And here we're going to go ahead and see it referred to as might. That same word dunamis, the Greek word dunamis that we're talking about. But we'll see it in might in these verses. Starting with verse 9, it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might," strengthened with all dunamis, "according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." But there's so much here, and that's why we have to isolate exactly what we want to focus on one thing at a time, because, whoa, that'll put you on overload when you dig into everything that's here. One thing in particular that you see, strengthen with all might. That means if God would inspire the Apostle Paul to pray this way, then God must be happy with what the answer to that prayer would be. God would not inspire the Apostle Paul to pray for the church and say, "Lord, give himself," and the Lord would say, but I don't want them to have that." God is not confused. God's not pulling one way on one end and the other way on the other end. You know what I'm saying? If God's going to go ahead and inspire the Apostle Paul to pray for the church to have these things, then it must absolutely be the will of God for the church to have those things. And it's not just the will of God for the church way back in the city of Colossae to have those things, but it's the will of God for the church of today in 2024 to have these very things, including this, to be strengthened with all might. Now, all might, all's a big word. As a matter of fact, some real deep preacher have said it before many times. Many deep preachers have said this, and it is a real deep thought. I hope you catch it. But it's that all means all, y'all. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all means all. So the idea that God wants us to be strengthened with all might, that means that there's no area where God does not want you to be strong. There's no area where the Lord said, "Well, it's all right. You can be weak here and weak there, weak there. You got a few strengths, you know, but I'm all right if you have some weaknesses." No, as a matter of fact, God's goal, and you see it in something Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, is that when we get into his strength, the Bible says that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So God is not looking for you to be weak in any area. When his strength gets involved in your weakness, let me tell you are strong in that area now. And I love, there's a verse in the Psalms that says that they go from strength to strength. Everyone that appears before God in Zion, they're going from strength to strength. So this idea of being strengthened with all might, that means every possible way that you can be strengthened, God wants you to have strength. Every possible way that you can be empowered, God wants you to be empowered, because you are being strengthened with all might, all of God's power, all of his dunamis, miracle-working power, all of it. So that means that there's no area of our life that God wants, that one, we'll forget about that one. This one and this one, all right, but not that one. No, God wants his power touching and impacting and strengthening every area of our life. Spirit, soul, body, and your wallet too. Glory to God. Woo, thank you, Lord. Well, let's keep going, because if I camp out too much, we won't get to the others, and it's easy to camp out tonight, let me tell you. Ephesians 1. Another prayer. Ephesians 1, verse 16, Paul speaking, and he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. And on that list of things that he wants you to know, he wants you to know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And verse 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? And we could go and keep on reading there. I'm not looking to diminish anything else here, but for the sake of time, let's go ahead and stop there. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? The Apostle Paul was praying for the church of the Ephesians that they would know that. We need to know that. We need to know the exceeding greatness of his power that's toward us who believe. God, let me put it to you like this. God put a target on you. And you think, yep. God put a target on me because he wants to go ahead and get me for all the things I've done. Nope, not that kind of target. God put a target on you, and he wants the exceeding greatness of his power to be toward you. You're the target, and it's going toward you. Do you believe that's this is who it's for? It's toward those who believe. If you believe him, you got a target on you, glory to God. And I tell you, he wants the exceeding greatness of his power. And these very descriptive words are not incidental. You know, God did not just inspire Paul to say that you may know his power towards those who believe, but the exceeding greatness of his power towards those who believe, that we would really get it. As a matter of fact, what he said a little earlier is he prayed that we would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That means that we have expanded ability to be able to see things out of the word, see things that are true about God and true about us that we've not been able to see before. I mean, he wants these eyes to be open so that you look at a verse that you've read 1,000 times, and then your eyes go, boing, and you say, I've never seen that before. Where have I been? As a matter of fact, Kenneth E. Hagin, a mentor to so many, and what a blessing to be able to sit under his teaching for many years, and he's in heaven now. But, I think of his own story, and when he would take this prayer and he would pray it over and over and over again, and was praying that he would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Well, it happened, because he got to the point where he looked to his wife and said, what on earth have I been preaching? He was already in the ministry and doing the best he could with what he knew. But what happened when the eyes of the understanding started to be enlightened And when the spirit of wisdom and revelation started to bust loose, woo! He started seeing things in the Word. It's like, where have I been? What have I been reading? What have I been preaching? Look what this says. He started to notice things. Glory to God. And in that spirit, God wants us to know, to notice, to be fully aware of the exceeding greatness of His power, which He is absolutely extending towards us who believe. He's targeting us believers with that power. Glory to God. Ephesians 3. We'll start reading with verse 14. It says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a prayer. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might. That's the word again. That's dunamis. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. What is the inner man? Of course, the word man's being used in a generic sense. It doesn't have to do with male or female. The inner person, the inner you. Your spirit, your core. Thank you, Lord. So He wants you to be strengthened with dunamis through His Spirit in your spirit. Wow. So the idea of when it feels like I can't go on. Has it ever felt like that before? Oh, yeah. But at moments when it feels like you can't go on, and it feels like everything that you could possibly have to push you forward and motivate you is just absolutely drained out your system. But deep inside of the core of you, that you are strengthened with dunamis through His Spirit in your spirit. And then all of a sudden you realize, I'm not doing this on my own. I'm not doing this on the gas in my own tank because that ran out already. I'm plugged into His tank and there's no shortage of the endless supply of what's in His tank. That's why the Bible uses the word the riches of His glory, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Terminology like that lets us know that if what you got is this much, or if what you got is spent and over with already, there is absolutely unlimited resources available to us in Him. Glory to God. Now, let's keep reading here because I want to get to something else at the end of this passage. So we'll start reading with verse 17. And it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. That's the word again, dunamis, that works in us. So it says that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So God's ability is very clear. Ain't no question about God's ability. It is letting you know very clearly what God's ability is here. The question is, who determines how much power you have working in you? And that would be you. How much of it is working in you is not up to God, because if it was up to God, He'd have you on, I mean, if 10 was the max, He'd have you on 11. So God would not be withholding anything from you, or having you on a low level when you could be on a higher level. So How much power is working in us is up to us. But you see, by these prayers, when you get serious about this and when you see what's available to us in Christ, that we don't have to have a shortage of that. Now, we can go for it and we can walk in it and have the maximum amount of power working in us that we can have. I'm not saying that you're just going to go ahead and arrive overnight and be super Christian by the end of the week. But the thing is that right where you are, you get started. Right where you are, you get hungry, you stay hungry, you live a lifestyle of hunger. Glory to God. Always going forward with God. Because according to the power that works in us. So, let me put it to you like this. What God can do in your life is limited by this. Even though he can do exceeding abundantly above. Let me tell you what I mean. So, let's say that my power working in me is this level. So even if God comes here, then, he can go ahead and do exceeding abundantly above. But if you got a low level, then his starting point is low. Let's go up the stairs now. Come on. So if your level is here, and God's level is here, he's a whole lot higher now than he was there. All right? Now, oh yeah, we're really having fun. We're going all the way to the top. So, if your level is here and God's level is here, you see, whatever we give him to start with, his exceeding abundantly above will be higher than that, but if we give him a low starting point, we're limiting him because he's a whole lot higher up here than he was down there. You know what I'm saying? So if we're giving God the starting point, let me say this to you. Let's give God something to work with. Hallelujah. Let's give God a whole lot to work with. Let's say, oh Lord, we won't give you the highest starting point we can give you so you can go ahead and exceed that starting point and have that starting point be one that is ever growing and increasing in our life. Yeah, you might be here right now, but we ain't staying here. We're going to keep on going forward in God so that starting point is always on the increase. And if the starting point is always on the increase, then his exceeding abundantly above is also always on the increase. I'm going to slap you tonight. Woo! That's good stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So those are power prayers. Let's go ahead and deal with some of the others as well. Preservation prayers. Because here's the thing. God wants to preserve you all the way to the finish line. He don't want you to go ahead and go halfway through the race and fizzle out. That's not the will of God for any of us. He wants to preserve you. And amazing things in Scripture regarding that. Let's start looking at them. Philippians 1, 9 and 10. And this I pray, once again, another prayer. The book is loaded with them, let me tell you. That your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That you may approve the things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. One thing about these prayers is that you usually see a reference to the day of Christ, the day of his coming, the day when we're standing before him. Because the idea of you being preserved is not just you being right for a day and say, goody, goody, I'm right today. Because what did Jesus say over and over again in the Gospels? He that endures to the end, right? Is that the word? He that endures to the end will be saved. So, we don't want to just go ahead and have a real good day and be like the balloon with all the air coming out and fizzle out. No, we don't want that. We want to keep on going. We want to endure. So this here, a prayer that we would be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Are you ready for more? All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, for us to have a good day here is great, but the place we most want to have a good day is on the day when we stand before him. Is somebody with me on that? Well, there is preservation power, the ability of God to be able to go ahead and maintain us all the way until that day. Hallelujah. Be preserved blameless. Isn't that great? Wow. Have you ever thought of yourself as blameless? No, a lot of us have thought of ourselves as the one who gets blamed for everything and deserves to get blamed for everything. But he's looking to preserve you blameless all the way until the day of his coming. Look at this. This is Jude, just one little chapter in Jude. This is verse 24. And this is his closing prayer. He's really, this is, you know how in church, if you heard someone offer the closing prayer, they would call that the benediction. Well, this is the benediction, the closing prayer of his chapter, this little book that he wrote. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So we read this idea of being preserved blameless in that other one. Now he's talking about presenting you faultless before the presence of his glory. And also before that, he said, to keep you from stumbling. Wow. Come on, somebody. Do you know somebody that could benefit by you praying this for them? Do you know that the person you look at in the mirror every morning could benefit by you praying that for them too? Hallelujah. All right, let's keep on going. Preservation. Wow. Look at this. This is 1 Thessalonians 3. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Once again, something that will establish you as blameless, establish you as holy all the way until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Glory to God. You see, sometimes we've been worried about that. We've thought about the day when we're standing before him, and the first thing we think of is all of our mess ups. But God had inspired the writers of Scripture to pray these things, having to do with the saints being preserved blameless. He inspired Jude to write that line about to keep you from falling. Say, Lord, I really want to make it to the finish line. I don't want to fall. Well, God's already in agreement with that. He doesn't want you to fall either. He's given you something that you can go ahead and pray and say about the situation, the same thing he says about it. Think about it the same way he thinks about it, because he doesn't want you falling either. So you can go ahead and say about your life and your ultimate destiny the very same thing that God wants for you, and to say, I'm not going to fall in Jesus' name. Rather, I'm going to be presented faultless. Who, me, faultless? I've always thought of myself as my long list of faults and How can the guy or the girl with a long list of faults be faultless? But God. But God. Hallelujah. All right. 1 Corinthians 1. We'll just keep on going. And then we're going to go ahead and look to wrap up about 8:20 so we can allow time to, and for those that came in a little bit later and didn't get one, we've got these printed out so you can go ahead and get a copy. And you can stand, kneel, walk, do whatever you need to do. Pray these for yourself and pray these for others, loved ones and friends and so on. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 8. I thank my God, always concerning you, for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. So he's giving thanks here. This is a thanksgiving prayer. That you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. That's big, because for you to be preserved, you need to have everything you need for the journey. You need to not be halfway through and say, oh, I need that, but I don't have that. No, God, his intention for you is that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 8. Who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus. Wow, once again. That very same idea. I got to tell you, if God says something once, you listen. But when God repeats himself, really, to tune those antennas in to what he's saying. Amen. Because God's repeating himself. You can see that. Glory to God. So he wants to preserve you. These are prayers that were prayed about the preservation of the church. Now, how about this? This is completion prayers. Completion prayers. Now, sometimes you see the word perfect in Scripture, and some people have saw the word perfect, and I thought, oh boy, I'm in for it because I know I'm not that. Well, you and the whole rest of the world ain't that. So we all in the same boat. But the word perfect could actually better be translated in a lot of cases as maturity or completeness, full-grown maturity, all right? But these are prayers regarding our completion. We just actually read one of them, if you look back on the previous page, about preservation prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he said, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." Now, what the word sanctify means, that's you being set apart, separated. So, I look at it like this, that ladies, if you went shopping and you were looking for the right outfit and you were going through the racks, thank you. Couldn't think of the word. You're going through the racks and looking to find the one that is right for you. And then you find it. What do? You take it, you see it's the right size, right color, and you're about to go to the dressing room to try it out. And what do, you take it and separate it from the rest. That outfit just got sanctified. Hey! That outfit just got sanctified. Someone said, I'm going shopping now because it's a spiritual experience. Praise the Lord. But the great thing about that is that we have been sanctified and completely sanctified. Completely sanctified. Glory to God. Wow. It's completely set apart from old things, old ways, completely separated from people you just don't need to be hanging with anymore. You can pray for them and, look to help them any way you can. But if people are weight on you and dragging you down, you just don't need that. Praise the Lord. Time to get sanctified. All right. Completion prayers. Let's go ahead and move on. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. So whatever's lacking, God doesn't want you to keep on going with something lacking. No, God wants you to be completed in that way, though, or perfected in that way. He doesn't want something to be missing. No, he wants that missing ingredient to be filled in. Glory to God. You see that? Night and day, praying exceedingly for this. Imagine that. Night and day, praying exceedingly. How important is this? That he said, I want to be able to come and perfect what is lacking in your faith. How important it is that we don't have anything lacking in our faith. Glory to God. That we can go ahead and go in our faith and have what the scripture calls our faith growing exceedingly. We know there's different levels of faith. Jesus used the term, oh, you of little faith. Jesus marveled at some people and said, you have great faith. Jesus also said at several points, how is it that you have no faith? And when he said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, he's not necessarily talking about the size of it, but you've got faith that can be planted. So when he's talking about a seed, he's talking about something that you can go ahead and plant and utilize so it can increase and grow. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So let's keep going. Oh, this is a fun one. 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, what about this one? Well, let me just say this, and we always need to say this for the record. We always need to distinguish between things that we are to suffer, that Jesus set an example for how we're supposed to suffer those things. And yet at the same time, there are certain things that Jesus suffered as our example, so we would know how to act during those times. But there are certain things that Jesus suffered as our substitute. Those things we do not need to suffer because Jesus bore that on our behalf. So anybody who automatically thinks, I've had this condition in my body, so I'm going to go ahead and keep on suffering in this condition in my body, and then after that, then I'll be perfected, established, and strengthened. But the thing is that God's will is not for you to just settle for suffering with something in your body. I mean, you do know that your Savior Jesus was a healer. I mean, every day of his life, he went out there. Glory to God. That was his routine. That was the way he regularly did things. As a matter of fact, if you just look through the scripture and see the frequency of it, it'll cause you to stand in awe. How much Jesus is a healer. So we're not talking about you suffering sickness, because that there is something he suffered as your substitute. But when it comes to suffering persecution, that's something you can't avoid. The Apostle Paul made it clear that everybody who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But after you go through some tough stuff, and you stand the test of trial, and you're also going to suffer in the flesh, because when you want to go ahead and honor God and your flesh wants to do wild and crazy stuff, your flesh is going to scream and say, I want what I want. I want it when I want it. But glory to God, I'll tell you, when you go ahead and fight that battle and you stand strong, glory to God, it don't feel good at the moment because your flesh is suffering because it's not getting what it wants. But afterwards, what happens? You're perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. And there's so many more we could read, but let's just read 2 Corinthians 13:9, and then we're going to go ahead and take time to pray as time's getting short here. 2 Corinthians 13:9, for we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. You know, it's interesting. And there is a sense of a heart of brokenness before God. And, you know, you especially see that in David's prayer. And we're not diminishing the idea of having, you know, a heart that breaks for what breaks the heart of God, and a heart that is just not caught up in how special you are, but it's caught up in how special He is. And when you look at yourself compared to Him, you just stand in awe and say, wow, what chance do I have? But hey, we already know that. We have no chance. That's why we need Jesus. That's why Jesus had to come, because we have no chance. We have no chance at redemption without Him. We have no chance at a heavenly future without Him. So glory to God. But keep this in mind, is that His will is your completeness. His will is your completeness. And if He didn't want us to have that, He would not have inspired His man, the Apostle Paul, to pray that. Are you with me? So you can have confidence when you pray these things. Glory to God. Well, hey, we're going to take time to do this right now. And so some people that came in a little bit late, and so if you came in a little bit late, that's all right. We're not mad at you. We just want to get you these. And so, Paul, let me give you some. And Keith, I'll hook you up. And we'll go ahead and get some on both sides so that everybody's got these. These are just the scriptures that we've been looking through tonight, as simple as that. And we want everybody to have that. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of the night doing. Glory to God forever. Woo-wee! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to take the next 10 minutes. And I got to tell you, you need that, you go ahead and ask the Lord for it for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. But I got to tell you, you know other people that need certain things in their life. You read some of these verses and you say, boy, I know my friend or my brother or my sister needs that, or mommy needs that, or Ray Ray needs that. I can use Ray Ray because I'm a Ray, so. I feel free to pray and go ahead and just dig into prayer. You can kneel, you can stand, you can sit, you can walk. I like to walk and pray, so that's what I'm going to do. But let's do this. Y'all ready? Yes. Hallelujah. Now we're going to be doers of the word we heard tonight. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God forever.